we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now we can come to only one of two conclusions. Either there is a conflict in the Word of God, that God has contradicted himself, or these are talking about two entirely different things using similar language. In my experience of witnessing to people, maybe yours as well, I have met religious people who we would classify as heretics because of certain damnable heresies to which they hold. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But these are false prophets also, but there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Now that class of heretics, those false teachers would say that without some work of righteousness in combination with faith in Christ, you cannot be saved, come straight to this passage. This is their proof text. These false prophets and teachers, and I have crossed swords with them for years over this passage. If there's any passages in the Bible I would like to go away, and I don't want any of them to go away, we're going to explain these passages. This is one of them. To make a statement in verse 14 or in verse 24, you see then that how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And I have had these false teachers in my witnessing go straight to that. That's what the Bible says. And you cannot budge them on the idea that you have to have some kind of works. Also in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? They'll go straight to this. Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Isn't the obvious answer no? We need to discuss those things, do we not? But I have another question. Before we get into the discussion of this text and what it means and why it doesn't teach what those people teach, why, think about this now, why would God make statements like this at all? Why does it sound so much like a contradiction? Why is there anything in God's word that would be confusing or misunderstood? Is this misunderstood, by the way? Absolutely, this is misunderstood. People are going to go to hell on these verses. Why would God put such a statement in the Bible? All three of these statements, by the way, there's another one. Why would Christ say things like John 6:53? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Catholics go to that to teach transubstantiation. That's their proof text. Why would God put such a statement in the Bible that would cause so much confusion? That would cause people to stumble? That would, by the way, create all sorts of conflict between good brethren about correct interpretation of these verses. Man, there are books written about this stuff. Pros and cons. All three of these statements have caused terrible confusion in Christian theology and set one good brother against another on matters of doctrine. These verses have given ammunition to the enemies of the cross to attack our faith. They say, The Bible's just full of nothing but contradictions. Why should I believe it? Why would God put such things in the Bible? By the way, it gives legitimacy to heretics who push their false doctrine. There are several reasons. Number one, Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God has so written this book that you and I need to exercise our senses to discern what's right and wrong. God doesn't believe in lazy Christians. Study to show thyself approved unto God, needing not to be ashamed. Sometimes we are ashamed before these people that bring these texts because we've not studied them out to know exactly what God's saying, and we're dumbfounded. Now, I remember as a young Christian when I began to study, I ran into people like this and I had no answers. Guess what I did? I got into the Bible and started studying what these things mean so that the next time I could give a defense of the faith intelligently. That doesn't mean they got saved. Oh, no. Because they'll just argue you to death. That's why God says a heretic after the, first and second admonition, reject. You're just wasting your time. So, one reason God makes things seemingly so difficult to understand is because he wants you and I to exercise our senses to discern good and evil doctrine that we might be able to discern. He wants us to study. Secondly, it's a test of our faith. Do you know that God requires us to believe incredible things that the world just laughs at? John 6 again, verse 67. After he made that statement, if you eat not the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus to the 12, will you also go away? Hard doctrine, hard to be understood, difficult. What is their answer? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. I might not understand it all, but I will not leave you because of the difficulty of understanding. It's a test of our faith, folks. Will we hold to the truths of this Bible? And sometimes I'll say, you know, I don't know. All I know is God is right. I went with this with my mother just recently. I don't believe that. I said, you can't deny it's in the Bible, though. Oh, I don't believe it's the Bible. I think it's just a bunch of stories. That's not the point. It's there. What are you going to do with it? You might not believe it's the truth, but it's there nonetheless. Amen? We'll stand on that. Anyway, but those aren't the ones I want to talk about. The one I want to talk about is this. The one I want to focus on. If you want to believe a lie, the Bible is written in such a way that you can get false doctrine from this book. How else do we explain the myriad of false religions who find justification for what they believe from this book? Everyone I've ever talked to, I've dealt with about Bible passages. They are using the Bible to promote a lie. All that does is prove, if you want a lie, if you want something other than the truth, you can prove it from this book. Let me give you some proof texts. Ezekiel 14. Verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and set before me. This is Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, verse 3. My apologies. These men have set up the idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them? Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are estranged from me through idols. So here they have set up their idol before their heart. But they come to the prophet to get an answer from God. And God says, should I at all even be inquired of them by them? They have already set up this lie in between you and me. And really what they're wanting is justification of their error. He said, I'll answer them according to their idol. Now that's scary. Now, the New Testament equivalent of that is this, Matthew 6 and verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That evil eye, now listen to me, that evil eye is coming to this book to look for anything but the truth. If you come with any preconceived notion, I believe that you've got to do works to be saved, your evil eye is going to fill you full of darkness and false truth. You'll find it in this book. That's scary. Look with me again in Isaiah 28, verse 10. Let me drop back one to verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Well, I like that. So there's the context. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now, we know that when people first get saved, they desire the sincere milk of the word. All those basic things, they're just milk. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saved. I need to get baptized. All of that is just milk. Amen. There are just little things. But once they're weaned from the milk, they begin to learn doctrine. They begin to get into the meat of the scripture, what we saw in Hebrews. They begin to exercise. We did this, did we not? We begin to exercise our senses to discern between good and evil doctrine. This is right. This is wrong. Why? Well, the Bible says this. I compare it with this. That doesn't work, right? We're using our senses to discern good and bad doctrine. We've been weaned from the milk. Now we're wanting to eat strong meat. Notice verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Repetition, building blocks, amen? We learned this, and to learn this, to know this does what? Helps us to understand this. And to understand this, we understand this. Precept upon precept. That's how God teaches us. Amen. That's how children learn. You don't learn algebra till you learn maths. For with a stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing that ye would, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, what is it that refreshes us, that encourages us? Isn't it just this book? Amen. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Teach me this book. Give me somebody that will help me to understand this book, because this is my rest and this is my refreshing on my weary way to that heavenly land. Amen. But they would not. Now notice verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them. Who's them? Those that would have none of this. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The more they learned, line upon line, the harder in sin and in darkness. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Everything they learn, line upon line, encourages them in their false doctrine, and you can't get them out of it. That's a fearful thing, isn't it? Folks, God's not to be trifled with. We have a living illustration of this in the New Testament. Would you go with me to John chapter 8? My time goes so fast. If you want to lie, you can prove it from this book. That's all I'm saying. God has so written this book that he'll make it line upon line, truth upon truth, precept upon precept, to make you fall. Now, that's not what he would like, amen? Because the intent is to refresh and to bless. It's your response to it and how you come to the Word of God with your preconceived ideas or notions. Look at this, if you would, with me, John chapter 8, verse 24. I said, therefore, now this is this great debate between the Lord and the Pharisees. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll start in verse 24. I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. So they must, according to what the Lord is saying, by the way, the he is added in our translation for our understanding. What he said was, unless you believe that I am. This is the I am that was in the burning bush. They must believe that. You will die in your sins if you don't believe that I am that one that met Moses, the I am. The debate goes on, it gets worse and worse, and we get down to John chapter 8, verse 58. And he says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, wait a minute, they ask him about who do you think you are up in the other verses. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, this was so clear to them that they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? How you respond to the truth. God can hide himself. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, here he tells them what they must believe. They question him on it. Who do you think you are? And Abraham's our father. All of these arguments. And then he comes and clearly says, I am. I am. And they understood what he meant, that he was claiming to be the deity that was in that bush. And they rejected it, right? They took up stones to slay him. Now, if you would, turn to John chapter 18, because we're talking about line upon line, truth upon truth, here a little, there a little. And what he intended by this was that it would be their refreshing, that it would be whatever we saw. My memory is so bad anymore. And this is the refreshing. This is the blessing. I can't remember now. My apologies. I used to be able to remember verses. So what we're talking about is what happens if we reject this book. John chapter 18 and verse 5. Now we know that we are in the garden, correct? And the Pharisees have sent an army to bring Jesus to trial. They've made up their minds. Their minds are hardened in sin. They're going to do it now. They might have picked up stones, but it wasn't the time. Now it's the time of Jesus's death. He's going to allow it. And they're sending this army to him. And verse 5. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. The he is added for our understanding, but the two words he spoke were, I am. The same thing that they were required to believe, the same thing that he declared that he was, that they rejected, he says the same exact words. Notice what happens. They went backward and fell to the ground. Here is the word rejected now becomes the word that judges. This is what we see in Isaiah. It said, line upon line, truth upon truth, that you might go backwards and fall. And he gives this living illustration of this principle. If you want to believe a lie, you'll get it from this book. And it will be line upon line, truth upon truth. And you'll just get harder and harder and harder and more set in your ways the more you hear the truth. Do you remember in Exodus where it said, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. God here hardening his heart. Now, as a young Christian, I had a lot of trouble with that because I thought, well, where is free will in that? Do you know what hardened Pharaoh's heart? When it says that God hardened his heart, do you know how he did that? There was one message for Pharaoh. What was it? One word. Let my people go. The more he heard it 10 times. The more he heard it, the harder his heart got. And what was it that hardened his heart? The very word of God that would have set him free if he had yielded to it. Folks, you do not trifle with God and his word. We must submit. We cannot have our own ideas. I will not let them go. You're going to get harder and harder. All the judgments that he brought upon Pharaoh and his people would not soften his heart. And he just got harder and harder because he would not yield and accept God's word to him. Now, folks, I have said all this. If we come to this book with some idol set up in our heart, and that idol can be nothing more than your pet doctrine, like the lost, there's something I've got to do other than believe to be saved, you'll never be able to know the truth. Never. You and I must come, what does Jesus say? Except you become as children. You cannot enter. We've got to come and say, Lord, what does it mean? No matter if it goes against everything I think, Lord, help me just to understand your world. And this book will either bless us, refresh us, give us grace, or folks, it'll harden our hearts and drive us backwards. When I've witnessed to my family now for near 50 years, and early on, all I would do is quote verses to them. And it would just make them so mad. And they would just be so angry. And they would say, quit telling me what the Bible says. I want to know what you say. That is what you think. That is what I think. And they would get so mad. And they got harder and harder in their sin. It drove them backwards because they would not submit to the truth of it. Well, anyway, why does God say these things in James chapter 2? Number one, so that we'll study. Amen. We're going to study it out. It does not mean what they say it means. We'll find out why. Number two, not only because we study, because it tests our faith. Will we stick to the Bible even when we're confused about it? And secondly, because this book is so written that if you want a lie, you can get it from this book. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these people. Soon we'll get into the text itself, but I wanted to talk about this first. Why these things are so confusing sometimes. Lord, thank you for writing your book the way that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.